From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello, listener. How are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo said Indonesia ready for a quantum leap. Government seek to boost production, attract investment and control sugar price in 2021. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo has said that the current public health and economic crisis are an opportunity for Indonesia to push the reset button and make a quantum leap through great vision, transformation and action. At the World Economic Forum special virtual meeting on Indonesia on Wednesday, as reported by Antara's agency, he stated that Indonesia has been making favorable progress in handling the public health and economic crisis caused by the ongoing global COVID-19 pandemic. He further said that in the health sector, Indonesia is striving to halt the spread of the COVID-19 outbreak by increasing the recovery rate, reducing the mortality rate, and accelerate the preparation for conducting a massive vaccination program. Joining the meeting via video conferencing from Bogor Presidential Palace, West Java, President Joko Widodo affirmed that Indonesia has made better progress in the COVID-19 handling, as in both infection and recovery rates. The government is ramping up sugar production and working to attract more investment in the industry to prevent a shortage of the commodity and price hikes in 2021 as the country seeks to recover from the pandemic downturn. As reported by JakartaPost.com, the Agriculture Ministry is preparing to work on intensification of 200,000 hectares of land on Java Island with state-owned enterprises and land expansion of 50,000 acres of land outside Java with private businesses for sugarcane plantation. The aim is to raise sugar production by around 676,000 tons by 2023 and make Indonesia less reliant on imports. Agriculture Minister Syahrul Yasin Limpo during the National Sugar Summit explained that it will not be enough with the limited land on Java, so the government needs to prepare extensification outside Java, especially on the remaining available lands that are quite large. Chairman of the National Economic Recovery and Transformation Task Force, Budi Gunadi Sadikin, said he has reallocated the National Economic Recovery Budget, which includes funds for the health sector, specifically for vaccine. He explained that the social protection program budget has been increased to 234.4 trillion rupiah from 203.90 trillion rupiah, while the budget for the health sector has been raised to 97.26 trillion rupiah from 87.55 trillion rupiah due to the planned vaccination program. Furthermore, 203.6 trillion rupiah or 86.88% of the budget ceiling has been allocated for the social protection and 97.05 trillion rupiah or 84.53% of the budget ceiling has been allocated for the micro, small and medium enterprises sector. A top scientist at the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, has appealed to Indonesians to strictly observe the government-mandated health protocols while participating in the upcoming COVID-19 vaccination program. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment Luhut Binsar Panjaitan has revealed that the government will likely commence the first phase of COVID-19 immunization in the third week of December this year. Deputy Chair of the COVID-19 Handling and National Economic Recovery Committee, KPC Pan Erick Thohir, has hinted that the government will soon decide whether COVID-19 red zone would be prioritized under the program. He also appealed to citizens to participate actively in the government's COVID-19 vaccination program. Research has revealed that 66% of Indonesians are keen to get vaccinated, while 16% are reluctant to join the vaccination program. The government is also supporting research efforts towards developing the country's own COVID-19 vaccine, Merah Putih or Red and White, named after the colors of the national flag. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. Arms control advocates are urging Joe Biden to extend the last U.S.-Russian treaty limiting deployed strategic nuclear arms for 5 years. But some experts argue the U.S. president-elect should go for a shorter period to maintain leverage over Moscow. As reported by Reuters.com, upon taking office on January 20, Biden faces an immediate decision on whether to extend the 2010 New START pact, which otherwise expires 16 days later, freeing Washington and Moscow to deploy unlimited numbers of strategic nuclear warheads and missiles, submarines and bombers to deliver them. Many experts fear New START's demise could fuel a nuclear arms race and intensify U.S.-Russia tension already at their worst since the Cold War ended in 1991, strained by Russia's annexation of Crimea, its alleged interference, which Moscow denies, in the 2016 U.S. election and arms control dispute. According to a Reuters tally, the global tally of confirmed coronavirus cases hit 60 million on Wednesday, with the pace of new infection accelerating and the United States reporting record numbers of hospitalization. Officials in the United States, the worst affected country in the world, urge Americans to stay home for the imminent Thanksgiving holiday as soaring numbers of COVID-19 patients push medical professionals to the brink. As reported by Reuters.com, the United States has reported 1 million new COVID-19 cases in less than a week, taking its total reported infection to over 12.5 million and its death toll to 260,000. According to the Reuters database on official statement, global infection stood at 60,005 million and death at 1.4 million. Iran's President Hassan Rouhani on Wednesday invited U.S. President-elect Joe Biden's incoming administration to restore the situation that prevailed before Donald Trump came to power. Iran and the U.S. do not have direct diplomatic ties, but a nuclear deal agreed between Tehran, Washington, and other world powers in 2015, negotiated when Barack Obama was in the White House with Biden as his deputy, saw bilateral tension despite to the lowest level in decades. Trump unilaterally withdrew the U.S. from the pact in May 2018 and launched a maximum pressure campaign against Iran with sanctions that plunged its economy into a deep recession. The two countries have twice come to the brink of war. Since Biden's victory in the November 3rd U.S. president election, Rouhani has repeatedly signaled his openness to the incoming U.S. administration, although Iran's supreme leader has cautioned against hopes on an opening with the West. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Here is today's commentary about Indonesia to be the host for G20 summit in 2022. The recent G20 summit in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia was quite different, for it was held virtually. Nevertheless, the summit resulted in the Riyadh Summit Leaders Declaration, consisting of agreement of the G20 members' heads of states or governments to overcome the global challenges. One of the points in the declaration was COVID-19 pandemic recovery. However, the interesting part is that Indonesia's recommendation about the postponement of loan installment was included in the agreement. Also, Indonesia was trusted to be the next G20 summit in 2022. Indonesian Foreign Minister said Indonesia will hold the presidency of G20 in 2022 after switching with India, which will lead the world's biggest economy summit in 2023. She also said that the change of plan was agreed considering Indonesia will lead ASEAN in 2023. Therefore, according to Minister Retno Marsudi, beginning from 2021, Indonesia will be part of the G20 summit's Troika. It means the leadership of a session is held by three parties with the same role. The appointment usually includes the previous period's leader, the current leader, and the next leader. It is because Indonesia will hold the G20 summit presidency in 2022. Truly, the membership of Indonesia in the G20 had brought strategic benefits. Indonesia doesn't only strengthen its role in the regional cooperation, but also increase bargaining power in the region. Besides that, Indonesia's status change into a middle-income country has indirectly changed the position as a recipient country only, but now as provider country as well. The G20 summit also can improve Indonesia's reputation on investment. At the same time, Indonesia is learning from developed countries. As a representative from developing countries among the economic giants, at least the voice of developing countries through Indonesia can be spoken at a global economy level. With Indonesia's readiness to host the G20 summit in 2022, the policies made in the G20 can bring positive impact not only for the members but also other developing countries. Indeed, all related stakeholders must take part to encourage the success of the great event. And listener, that was today's commentary.
Listener, our daily segment Today in History starts with the event on November 26, 1990, when Prime Minister of Singapore Lee Kuan Yew was replaced by Goh Chok Tong. Lee Kuan Yew was the Prime Minister of Singapore from 1959 to 1990. In 1954, Lee and his group of educated people in Britain formed the People's Action Party to encourage the establishment of a sovereign Singapore government so that British colonialism could end. 5 years later, in 1959, Lee was elected as the Prime Minister of Singapore, replacing the former Chief Minister of Singapore, David Saul Marshall. On 26 November 1990, Lee Kuan Yew was replaced by Goh Chok Tong. During Goh Chok Tong's reign, Lee served as senior minister. Next event was in 2003, the last flight of Concorde. One of the legendary aircraft in aerospace history is the Concorde. This aircraft of British and French made has a maximum speed of twice the speed of sound, or approximately 2,180 kilometers per hour at cruising altitude. The plane with a very expensive ticket price was able to carry up to 128 passengers. The Concorde first flew in 1969 and ceased operations in 2003 due to the increase of the operational cost while sales of Concorde tickets continue to decline. On October 24, 2003, Concorde made its final flight from John F. Kennedy International Airport in New York to Heathrow Airport, London. The final Concorde flight was finally made on 26 November 2003 from London Heathrow to Filton. Thus, that was the end of supersonic flights era. The last event is that in 2011, the Kutai Kartanegara Bridge in East Kalimantan collapsed. The Kutai Kartanegara Bridge was a bridge that crossed the Mahakam River and was the longest suspension bridge in Indonesia. The overall length of the bridge is 710 meters, with a free span or hanging area without support up to 270 meters. The bridge was a link between the city of Tenggarong and the Tenggarong Seberang sub-district, which leads to Samarinda City. The construction of this bridge began in 1995 and was completed in 2001. On 26 November 2011, the Kutai Kartanegara Bridge collapsed. Dozens of vehicles that were on bridge road fell into the Mahakam River, resulting in 24 people dead and dozens injured and 12 people missing. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zheng que pei tai kou zhao, yi fang chi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. Wo de kou zhao bao hu ni. 你的口罩, 保护我.
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overbrenging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19. En portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Somebody sampai akhirnya ku lihat sendiri sakit hatiku, oh, 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 sakit melihatmu dengannya. Tinggal melupakanmu saja, janji diri sendiri. Terakhir malam ini.
Tune to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener Nature Lovers groups from various regions commemorated World Tree Day on November 21st by conducting conservation activities to plant tree seedlings, as well as recognizing the late environmental fighter Salim Kancil in Selok Awar-Awar Village, Lumajang Regency, East Java. The activity entitled in Javanese Terus Tandur Ojo Mundur, which means keep planting, don't stop, was held for 2 days with two different agenda of activities. On the first day, on Saturday, November 21st, was held a discussion on the preservation of coastal areas. On the second day, on Sunday, November 22nd, was carried out tree planting on the land owned by the late Salim Kancil, which was attended by Lumajang Regent Torikul Haq. The coordinator of the Laskar Hijau organization, A.A.K. Abdullah Al-Kudus, in Lumajang said the commemoration of World Tree Day was held in Selok Awar-Awar Village, the residence of the late Salim Kancil, to commemorate and respect his struggle in preserving nature. Salim Kancil died in 2015 as a victim of murder in connection with his protests against sand mining in his village. Several types of trees from a total of 2,500 trees planted include mangroves, sea cypresses, ketapang, nyamplung, and baobab trees. Especially for baobab, the tree seeds were imported directly by Laskar Hijau from Kenya, Africa. The Laskar Hijau also invited coordinator of the Sahabat Alam Indonesia organization, Andik Saifuddin, and professor of Brawijaya University Malang, Professor Lukman Hakim to motivate nature lovers to continue to actively preserve nature. The commemoration of World Tree Day was attended by family of the late Salim Kancil and several other organizations such as the Gus Durian and several nature organizations. Lumajang Region Thoriqul Haq in his speech said that his party is committed to preserve the southern coastal area of Lumajang because saving the environment means protecting the souls of Lumajang people. Meanwhile, Sahabat Alam Indonesia coordinator Andik Saifuddin appreciated the enthusiasm of the Lumajang youth who actively participated in this activity. The same thing was also conveyed by the professor of Brawijaya University, Professor Lukman Hakim, who said that conservation is the management or regulation of bio-natural resources and their ecosystems. So it needs knowledge to organize it, so that these efforts can provide benefits for all. And listener, that's my Indonesia for today.
Yang ku lalui. Voice of Indonesia COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio.
Harib COVID-19 bibaqaikum fil manazil.
Zaman gegen corona, wir bleiben zu Hause.
Stay at home, stay healthy, and together we can fight the coronavirus.
Bleib thuis, was je handen met zeep, draag je masker als je naar buiten gaat, neem de vitamine en zorg je gezondheid. Samen bestrijden we de coronavirus.
From Indonesia to the world.
Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, today I'm going to let you know about Kamojang Eco Park in Garut, West Java. Listener, when you're traveling to Garut Regency, West Java, there is a tourism attraction called Kamojang Eco Park, which is interesting to visit, especially for those who like natural tourism and photography. This tourism attraction has Instagrammable spots. Kamojang Eco Park is located right on the edge of the Samarang-Kamojang Road. It has strategic location and easy to be accessed by using land transportation from Garut City. To enter this tourism attraction, you will be charged an entrance ticket of 15,000 rupiah per person. Entering Kamojang Eco Park, you will feel the cool air and shady bamboo and pine forests. You can immediately explore the 9 hectares of tourism area. There are 3 locations in Eco Park that can be visited, namely Fog Valley, Broccoli Valley, and Manglayang Valley. One of the favorite places to take pictures is at Fog Valley with a spot of a net bridge. There is also a flying fox facility if you want to test your adrenaline while seeing the natural beauty of Kamojang. You can also take pictures with mountains as the background. Besides flying fox, this tourism object also provides various playing grounds and photo spots such as restaurant built on a tree so that it looks like a stage, photo spots at the end of a cliff, flower gardens, hanging bikes, and riding air balloons. If you want to do camping, Kamojang Eco Park also provides a camping ground that can accommodate up to 100 tents. For camping facility, just pay 40,000 rupiah per person. The manager also provides packages ranging from rental tents for 4 people for 250,000 rupiah. There is also a restaurant here, but if you have a picnic with your family, you can bring your own food supplies. This tourism object also provides facilities such as bathrooms, parking lots, and a prayer room. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we'll meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
asmara. Hatiku rawan menanti kehadiran Dewi Malam pancaran bahagia. Ku ingin selamanya mendambakan kaya.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku o chokuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai o fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata o mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩， 以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。 我的口罩保护你， 你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overbrenging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhinderen Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19-Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to our regular segment, miscellany. In today's edition, we are going to present you information on Simonic, a surveillance tool for suspected COVID-19. Listeners, the confirmation of the addition of positive cases of COVID-19 in Indonesia has not shown a significant decrease. This addition cannot be separated from the presence of COVID-19 transmission in the community. In handling the COVID-19 pandemic, the Center for Electronics and Telecommunication Research, the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, launched a wearable device-based monitoring tool called Simonic, Smart Innovative Monitoring for COVID-19. Of the Center for Electronics and Telecommunications Research, the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, Budi Prawarsa, explained that Simonic is an individual surveillance system for people who have confirmed suspected close contact with COVID-19 based on the first wearable device in Indonesia. Simonic has a very important function in the aspect of monitoring COVID-19 suspects. The technology, which is embedded in the Simonic wearable device, is a Bluetooth low energy chip which has a special ID and is connected to the internet via a smartphone through the Simonic application, which is available and can be downloaded on the Play Store. So the wearable can always be monitored via the centralized server. The shape of this tool resembles a watch to make it easier for its users to use. The information on the movement and status of Simonic users will always be updated, including if the Simonic user tries to force or disable the device in any way. The supervisor will immediately know it. This tool has passed the laboratory test functionally. In order to accelerate the diffusion of LIPI's research products, this tool is collaborated with the Regional Research and Development Agency for West Java Province. Currently, P2ET Lipi has prepared 20 units of Simonic wearable devices that are ready for use by COVID-19 positive patients in West Java. That was our segment miscellany with the topic Simonic, a surveillance tool for suspected COVID-19. Thanks for listening and bye.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia, COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio.
From Indonesia to the world.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Today we will present a song entitled Selamat Jalan Kekasih by Rita Effendi. Rita Effendi joined the Kahitna group at the initial formation of the group. Previously, she was joined in many compilation album projects and film soundtracks. Since the beginning of her career until now, she has produced many albums. She also often shows her quality by participating in and winning various singing competitions. In 2000, she won the 2000 Asian Pop Song Festival in Manila through the song Selamat Jalan Kekasih, which brought her to get the grand prize winner title. This song, which was composed by Baby Romeo, tells about sadness of someone who left by his or her lover. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Selamat Jalan Kekasih.
Berpisah denganmu telah membuatku semakin mengerti betapa indah saat bersama yang masih selalu ku kenang. Selamat jalan kekasih,
selama-lamanya.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safitradala. See you on the next English program.